So what we've done is we've built a platform to help anyone, no matter the size of the business, to create an email that it's branded, it's mobile optimized, it's conversion driven, and it's done in less than 10 minutes. As an individual, I always like to learn more things, and I like traveling. I did quite a few travels abroad, but every time I would go somewhere, I say, oh, you know what?
I'm Farah Shamas. Welcome to Hotel Talk. We hope you enjoy listening to this friendly conversation between people connected by real life in hotels. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Hotel Talk. And today I have with us a lady who I've met several times via hotels and different hotels and with her mother in hotels always, Christos Sava, who is the founder and CEO of Stronde. She's a digital strategy consultant, and we're going to really delve into the world of digital strategy and what we can gain from that. So thank you so much, Christos, for coming on Hotel Talk.
Well, thank you for inviting me for this talk.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. So I'm going to start off with maybe an obvious question, but why Stronde and what does it stand for? And tell us a little bit of behind your company.
Okay. So first of all, Stronde, it's short for Strategy on Demand. And I came up with the idea of quitting my job so that I can build a platform to connect small and medium enterprises with the right strategist at the right time. And that's how the name
came. What were you doing before then?
Before I was a digital marketing consultant and a business consultant in consultancy in London. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed what I was doing and the work that I was doing for the clients. But to be fair, I didn't really enjoy the environment I was at. Mm. So I said, you know, I wanted to do my own thing, and I wanted to ensure that the elements I picked up from the things I did not like from that consultancy, to bring them both into the type of company I create, but also the type of quality and the approach of the work for our now clients.
Mm-hmm. So you won't believe what I thought Stronde stood for.
Sorry?
I said you won't believe what I thought it stood for. I was like, because I read it Stronde. And then I was like, is it for strong and blonde?
No, but it's for...
But that works, doesn't it?
No, but we...
But know, I like it, Strategy on Demand.
It is pronounced Stronde because of that acronym element. But we do use a lot of words that we created for that. So, you know, if I write an email, I would sign it with Stay Strand.
Yeah.
At Stronde, we don't do brainstorming. We do brainstronding.
Okay.
And we employ people that are strong enough. So we really embrace the name, and it has different meanings in different situations.
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice. So why do people need digital strategy?
Well, it was the same question as why do people need direction? Some people, they need sometimes to have a person to validate their ideas, or even they want a person to really define how they should go to the next step. Mm-hmm. And for us, we do it for organizations. First, let's start with defining what we do at Stronde. Mm-hmm. So we have three distinct business units. So it's 8 years running company, and we have a digital strategy consultancy part, a marketing technology agency. And we also built our own AI-powered tech platform. So there's three different areas. Mm-hmm. On the consulting side, we work primarily nowadays with organizations, a bit of a multinational. So some of our clients include Anthology. We work with Motorola Solutions, with Energizer, Nivea France.
So not just based in Cyprus, you deal with people all over the world, really. Yeah.
Actually, all of our clients are based across the globe. We do the main operations in Cyprus, but our headquarters are in London. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the employees, we're a team of 11. And they're a combination of Cypriots, French, Lebanese, Romanian, Ukrainian, and Filipino, and Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But our clients are based across the globe. And you asked why strategy?
Yeah. And might be an obvious question, but for many people, especially not just actually smaller businesses, even bigger businesses, some people just can't wrap their head around the digital world and how we can utilize it to the maximum.
Yes.
Maybe explain a bit like why is digital strategy so important, and
Well, first of all, there are so many different platforms nowadays and so many different buzzwords. And I believe, you know, in 2023, the buzzword has been AI. All companies want to go into AI. In 2024, it will be a different buzzword. So people chat about ChatGPT. They chat about, you know, the evolution of the space. And there's a lot of things out there. And when there is a lot of options, organizations need to ensure that what they have on board, they leverage to the maximum to satisfy their own business needs.
Yeah.
But also bigger organizations, they work with, they have different teams, different departments, different skill sets. So to be able to really understand how the landscape is evolving and how to adapt in order to be sustainable and grow, you need to have either a team that just focuses on that or good partners that can help you really audit your infrastructure and ensure that you're not just utilizing to the maximum, but you make the most of it. And not just in terms of implementing that, but right nowadays there are a lot of regulations, data regulations. So there is the need to be compliant. And having to adapt into such regulations, it's not really an easy process. And that's where we come on board to really help our clients to analyze their data, sit down with them, understand what are their needs, their objectives, and together define what should be their strategic plan to meet those objectives. So we do that from a consultancy side. From an agency side, then we implement that. A lot of the things that we would consult, we would implement if it's within our niche and our expertise. Otherwise, we have selected partners that we work with them, or we are also the extension of other agencies. So a lot of the times agencies partner with us to satisfy the marketing technology part. So we can get, let's say, a project or a set of requirements from an agency, but ensure we would implement them in a compliant and good quality of work.
So we all love stories. And so for the listeners today, give us a story of how one company came to you maybe with a problem and then you solved it.
Okay. So I'll start with, I'm not sure, I'm not going to share names, but I'll start with, you know, my first client. So when I quit my job and I was lucky enough to find contracting work, consulting work. So I thought, you know, if I do something that I already knew, it would give me the funds to really. And I had a lead from LinkedIn. She reached out. She said, oh, you know what? I'm looking for a person that has a specific type of expertise, which was a marketing automation platform called Eloqua, part of Oracle. And long story short, I was following up with that lead for 6 months. Oh, hey, how are you? You know, you said about this. You know, why don't we, where can we like jump on a project? And 6 months in, she had an urgent inquiry and I jumped in it. And that type of inquiry was they wanted to create a lead generation campaign and to have a landing page and to also have emails following up from, you know, if you sign up to that landing page to have, you know, the first email, the second and the third. But she wanted to do it in 8 different languages. They all needed to work and the deadline was 3 days. And I already was in holidays abroad. And I thought to myself, you know what? That was the opportunity I was looking for. It was a big organization and I'm just gonna do it. So I did it overnight. I used, I did the landing page, I did the emails, I use a very hacky way of using Excel to translate and automatically create those emails. But then I thought, okay, if I do this project, I'm not going to have another one. So I've shared, you know, as part of our services, we have an insights and recommendation at the end of that. So in 6 weeks time, we'll meet and I'll take you through the data for that. So yeah, that was how I landed our first multinational organization. And now that organization, it's 7.5 years with us.
So you solved their problem.
Yes. And they told me, can your team handle that? I did not have a team at that point. And I said, yes, I can handle more work. So then I had to find the team. So that was how I ended up having my first multinational client and
amazing,
building a team for that.
So what is, you mentioned emails now, and I've seen on your LinkedIn, you've got a huge thing of Strand for email.
Correct.
So tell us a bit about that.
Okay. So Strandy for email is our email creation platform. Mm-hmm. We have, well, first of all, email marketing, it's a big thing for organizations. So that's when you build loyalty. That's, mm-hmm. You already have your customers' email addresses. So creating an engaged newsletter, it's really important to really increase that loyalty. But having to create that email, it's not just nowadays about the content, what you should do in order to, you know, what kind of frequency and all of those elements. To create an actual email, it's a lot of work for organization. So starting with like SendRefs, when you create, I guess, emails, mm-hmm. you need to ensure that they're branded. You have the SendRefs brand over there. You have the right colors, the right logos, and the email renders well on both right desktop links. And mobile, but also for Outlook and now dark mode. And for an organization or an individual to be able to do that, they need to have technical expertise. And that's not a job of an email marketeer to have that technical expertise. An email marketeer or a marketeer, they need to come up with the content. You know, what should I write? What should be my subject line? So what we've done is we've built a platform to help anyone, no matter the size of the business, to create an email that it's branded, it's mobile optimized, it's conversion driven, and it's done in less than 10 minutes. And happy for you to try that after our session.
And then is there data then on the back end that can support the click-throughs and
so what we do,
follow-ups?
Thank you for that question. What we do is we are only response. The platform only helps you to create that email.
Mm-hmm.
And irrespective of which email service provider you're using, you might be using MailChimp, SendGrid, Pardot, Marketo, we integrate with it. Mm. So we don't send the emails, but we help you create them faster. And we even have collaboration features that you can collaborate with different stakeholders to ensure that an email is approved and then you send it. Mm-hmm. And we did it in a way so that we don't get any organization's data. Whether you have a list of 6,000, 100,000, or just 20, we don't know about that list because we help you create the email. And that email
and then you
sits,
do it. Yeah. You do it with your CRM or, yeah. So what would your advice be to companies listening, like an individual who either runs a company or someone who owns it and is listening to this and thinking, goodness, I don't really have a digital strategy. I just send emails whenever I think about it, or, you know, I don't really follow up with my team. What would your advice be to someone?
My advice would be to be not thinking about, okay, I should use this because everybody's using it. I would just have to have a step back and say, okay, who is my audience? Where is that audience? And then based on that, use the right platforms to do that. But then my other advice is you don't need to do everything yourselves. Mm. There are so many platforms out there that can really help you save time so you can focus on what matters the most, you know, that strategy. And when you're lacking some expertise, don't be afraid to really ask for that help, whether you're getting... whether you're joining a podcast like this one to really understand what other people are doing, or whether just reaching out to a consultant to really help you do that. But yeah, definitely just trying to allocate where you spend most of the time. And if you can automate that, get on a platform. If that platform, for example, is to not have you to spend creating the emails yourself, get that one.
Mm.
If that platform helps you be able to create content that nurtures your audience, do that. If that platform helps you manage your task, get that, but don't do everything on your own.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I've been reading some books about this lately and how, you know, ego is one of the worst things where people try and keep everything, where people are afraid not to trust people, and just use the consultants out there and use anything, any tech out there that helps free up time because time is precious.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's social media, SEOs, what's your opinion?
Okay. So first of all, that's with Strandy, we work within the digital marketing space, but our agency side, we're calling it marketing technology because we deal more with marketing automation, CRM, mm-hmm. digital analytics. And we don't really implement any paid advertisement or social media or SEO, but we have selected partners.
But it would come under your advice, let's say, in your strategies.
Correct.
Yeah,
we do the analysis for that. So I find like social media is pivotal to getting your brand out there. For example, we do it for our own brand awareness. We get leads from our social media. And that's a department that we constantly try to evolve and also bring internal. And what we find also with our clients is that sometimes it's even on social media, there's so many channels nowadays. There are the Instagrams, the TikToks, the Twitter
whatever
that now became X. There's so many different elements. But
Facebook, LinkedIn, it just goes on. Yeah.
It's
YouTube.
Yes, but you need to know which channel to do, but then do it right.
Yeah.
We see a lot of different...
And each, you know, platform is different and you should be, you know, promoting different aspects or sides of your business or in different voices even.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. For example, for us, we use Instagram to promote our company culture, the way we do things, the people behind the work. We use LinkedIn to really showcase our case studies and you know, the events that we're at. So we're not using every channel in the same way. And we're not on all channels because it does require a lot of effort. So if you do put your effort, you need to put it in a way that you can also maintain it and also optimize it on an ongoing basis. What worked a year ago will not work now. And also, it's whether that's for social media or SEO, and I'll go going to come back to that SEO later on. It's important to always have a step back and then see, how is my social media performing? What type of content is it working for me? And then the content that really creates the engagement the most, you can see, okay, you know, I'll create
more of that
content. Mm-hmm. The other content that doesn't really work as good, you will think, okay, why didn't it work that way? Maybe I should write less than that. Or what I wanted to showcase from that content did not work that way. So what a different way to do that. So
it could be even time. It could be the day you posted, the time you posted, how you wrote the text, maybe the style of a picture. There's so many aspects that can affect the engagement.
But then it goes back to what I said earlier. It also depends on, we see a lot of organizations doing the same thing across different channels, but different channels have different audience, different demographics. So you should really also understand that. And there's analytics for that. What type of audience, where are they located? Then you can define, okay, this tone of voice, should I adapt it for this channel? Because I want my customers to resonate with it. So it's really, whichever channel you're using, it's very important to always look at the data.
Yeah.
And not on what strategy you define today, you know, in a year's time, in 3 months' time.
Might be redundant.
Yes. And you need to reevaluate it because that's why you can remain relatable with your audience.
Yeah. I always equate it to you're the same person and you have to be authentic, but you're going to different events. And that's what I tell my team as well. Like, you know, you've got to imagine that the company or the person, that's the same. But, you know, when you're in LinkedIn, you're going to a business meeting or a conference. So you'd put on a suit. And then when you're going to Facebook, you're visiting family and close friends. So you'd be a little bit more casual. And when you're on Instagram, you're in party mode and you're in the dress with glitter.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's like on a personal thing, but that applies to companies.
Yes.
So people want to see, you know, the more businessy side on the one platform. They want to see a more friendly, approachable side on another. And they want to see the back end maybe on another, as you said, like you promote, you know, what your staff are doing and your company culture. So, yeah, it is important.
Yeah, because that's important. Mm. That's really important. And that's also one of the power of social media nowadays. It makes brands to really showcase who are out there.
Who they are.
Who they are.
And yeah. So interesting. Thank you. So tell us a little bit about you.
Okay.
Let's move away from then digital strategy. Tell us a bit about you. You live in Larnaca.
I live in
Obviously,
Larnaca.
I know your lovely mummy.
Yes.
But yeah, tell us a bit about you. You studied in London.
So I live
you
in Larnaca.
Born?
Yeah,
you were
born and raised in sunny Cyprus and Larnaca.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 13 years in the UK.
13?
13,
wow,
yes.
Wow, I didn't know it was that long.
So I studied computer science first at the University of Nottingham.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to London for my master's, and then I stayed there for 10 years.
Wow.
Yes. I had been working for 5 years prior to starting my own business in London. And within 5 years, I changed 4 jobs.
Whoa.
Yes. And it's not because I wasn't loyal. It's because I always felt none of that company made me feel mm-hmm. loyal or part of a team.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, creating my own business was obviously about creating a profitable organization. But for me, it was always about how do I create something and how do I make it feel like home, not just for me, but for the people who mm-hmm. work there. And that's one of the things that really I enjoy waking up every day. And then, you know, no matter, it's not easy mm-hmm. having your own business. But I really enjoy it. Even the good times and the not so good
yeah.
times. But having said that, my other, you know, apart from work, I always been into sports and playing volleyball ever since I was 10.
Okay.
So, I always kind of felt like that element of needing to be part of a team and think strategically, understand each person's weaknesses and strengths, but also the opponent's weaknesses and strengths. And together with the team working towards, a result, mainly revolved around, you know, winning.
I mean, sports is so important for that. Yeah, for kids growing up and people, the whole strategic side of being into sports can be applied into life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's also why what I try to also balance between work and personal time. Mm. I always want to ensure and I ensure that I do use still my hobbies to keep me brainstorming.
Yeah. Still, yes. Amazing. I love that. Say a little bit on Cyprus. People listen to this from, I can't even think now, but so many different countries. It's amazing. So if someone is listening to this from further afield than the Mediterranean, why do you love Cyprus? Why did you come back? Why should someone come and visit Cyprus?
Oh, okay. I'm biased because I'm a Cypriot. But I always say, even to my friends abroad, that Cyprus is a paradise.
Mm.
It has the good weather most of the time. It has access to the beach. You can do beach volleyball in the morning and then even skiing at lunchtime if you're in January or February and you like both beach volleyball and skiing. The food is lovely. And generally, the quality of life is great.
Mm.
And why, you ask, why did I move back? As an individual, I always like to learn more things and I like traveling. I did quite a few travels abroad, but every time I would go somewhere, I say, oh, you know what? In Cyprus, we have this and that. And it's always, you know, for me, it's home.
Mm.
And
there's no place like home.
There's no place like home. And before moving back, I always felt hesitated about moving back because of I really like my job, and I like my colleagues, and the people I would hang out with. And a part of me felt like, okay, you know, if I go back to Cyprus, will I still have the same momentum? And I was very surprised to see that I do. There's so many communities nowadays in Cyprus and so many international people like living in Cyprus, whether as digital nomads or they're forming their families here. And I still have the same sort of
cosmopolitan vibe
that everybody, you know, gets something from each other. And it's one of the things I felt like, okay, you know what? Now Cyprus is...
Yeah, it's changed. It's amazing.
Yes.
Well, it was lovely to be with you as well at the Red Diamond. You were also nominated. And so we were there at Four Seasons, another connection with hotels. Can you tell us a favorite quote? I ask everyone this who comes on this podcast. I love collecting quotes from people. So is there a favorite saying or mantra that you live
yes
by?
I always had this mantra ever since I don't know how old I was, but where there is a will, yeah, there is a way.
Mm-hmm.
So and I always felt like I always lived by
that.
It
yeah, it's beautiful. I love that saying, where there's a will, there's a way. Saying that my sister used to have, it made me laugh so much many years ago, but a fridge magnet that said if God wanted me to be skinny, he would have given me willpower or the will.
Yeah.
So where there is the will, there's the way. So bonus question.
All right.
Pick any one that you want. This, some of them are by, I'll read it to you.
Okay.
Snatch it back from you. Some are from our team and some are from people who've been on the podcast previously. And yours, we don't know who wrote this, but it says, what era would you have liked to have been born into? I guess if not obviously this.
Okay.
Yeah. But it just says, what era would you have liked to have been born into?
I wouldn't know how to answer because I only know how to live this era and yeah. I'm loving it.
And you're loving
yes.
it.
Yes. It's also the reason I don't watch many periodic films.
Mm.
So
yeah, it's not like, oh, I wish it must have been amazing to live in the 20s or in the 17th century or no
I always like to live in the present, so I don't know how to live in the past.
It's so different. I know I made a post, just a fun jokey post on my Instagram I think a couple of days ago, just saying, yeah, like I'd like to drop my kids off in 1985 and see how they fared. But yeah, it's so different because we only know the now, don't we? And then,
yes.
Yeah, to imagine a different era.
And if the now is good, you know.
Yeah, why change it? Yeah, if something works, don't fix it. Kalisa, thank you so much.
No, thank you.
It's been very, very informative. And I think all the listeners would have learned something definitely about digital strategy and more and why to come to Cyprus. So, yeah.
Well, thank it was you. A pleasure talking to you, Farah. If anyone out there wants to ever reach out,
they know where to find you. We'll put it in the show notes. All right, thank you, my dear. Have a great day.
You too.
I really hope that you've enjoyed listening to Hotel Talk and this episode. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button because it helps us more than you may realize. And also, if you have enjoyed any episode more than maybe another, do share that with as many friends as possible, because whoever gets the most amount of downloads or likes after the first year, we will be donating 1,000 euros to a charity of their choice. So all your listens really help us. If you'd like to stay in touch, don't forget to hop along to St. Raphael Resort and Marina's website, join our Seahorse Club, and email the hotel anytime that you want to come and stay, quoting Hotel Talk, to receive an exclusive offer just for you as our valued listener. So thanks once again, and here's to many more amazing episodes with you, our listener, in mind.